great opportunity we have right here to play a piece called You Haven't Done Nothing. I mean, I just think that kind of...
That really touches
it
me.
It really touches the deep, deep... Yeah, I'll be quiet now. You Haven't Done Nothing. This is from Kuruming. Go, baby, go. Play that song.
We are amazed but not amused by all the things you say that you do. Don't want consent but not involved with decisions that are made by you. But we are sick and tired of hearing your song, telling how you were gonna change right from wrong. Cause if you really want to hear our views, you haven't done nothing.
It's 7 p.m. here at WMBR Cambridge, and that means it's time for Sverio to say goodbye to you. But before we do, we wanted to let you know about the following upcoming events really quickly. Next Friday at 7 p.m., when you finish listening to the show, of course.
Of course.
Yes.
Don't forget that.
There will be a beginning of a series of films being shown outdoors in East Somerville as part of the East Somerville Main Streets Association. And they will be showing Deus é Brasileiro. It's going to start with live music, Brazilian music first at 7 o'clock, and then the film will be at 8 p.m. And they are free movies that are shown outside behind the fire station on Broadway in East Somerville. And if you have any interest in finding out more about that, they have a website that is an outrageously long website, but here we go. It is www.eastsomervillemainstreets@blogspot.com. Yes. Okay.
Maybe they can Google it.
I think they could probably Google it. You know, Jasmine, you're like plugging Google. Are you on their payroll?
I'm not gonna say anything.
The other thing that we wanted to let you know is that the Boston Elections Department is still trying to recruit more people to serve as poll workers on September 16th and also again November 4th. Boston is required to have 6 poll workers per precinct, and there are 254 precincts in Boston. So they're especially looking for bilingual volunteers to help out with the election days that are up and coming. You can get more information about that from MIRA, the Massachusetts Immigrants and Refugee Advocacy Coalition. And they actually have their own website also, which is MIRA. What is it again? I'm only just looking at the website here. You think I'd be able to figure it out. This is just sort of a theme here today. My goodness. MIRACoalition.org.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Do we have any other announcements?
No, I don't, except that we'll be coming back here next Friday at 6.
Yes, and funny thing, we do that every Friday.
Yeah.
At 6.
Yeah.
It's a beautiful thing.
So we'll see you guys later.
Lovely. Ciao, everybody.
Bye.
Yeah.
مرحبا من الدكتور جالس السكران at Music for Human. I have with me today BCP.
What's up, man?
And also Po.
Hello.
And across the glass membrane, we have Scrabbles, hopefully.
Domo hadie des.
Scrabbles.
Dr. Jalos.
Scrabbles is about to embark on a journey.
Say,
across the river.
Yeah, it's a salty river, though.
Which river?
Just a salty one that doesn't move very fast.
I think he's trying to make a joke here. It's called an ocean. It's not a river.
An ocean. He's across the ocean.
He will be.
Which ocean do you cross?
I don't know. What kind of question is that, Dr. Jalos?
Well, you know.
How should I know my geography?
There are so many oceans. Before the journey, I would recommend figuring out which ocean you plan to cross.
All right.
Doctor, how many oceans are there?
There are, it depends on which geographical system you use. Under the Robinson system, there are 18 oceans, but under the Western system, there are 7 oceans.
Which ones?
Let's see. Well, I know the names in Arabic. Let me see if I can remember them in
I'd like
English.
To hear the Arabic names.
Okay, there is Al-Muhit Al-Atlasi, Al-Muhit Al-Hadi, Al-Muhit Al-Hindi. Let's see. What else is there? Al-Muhit Al-Artaki. Madri, yeah. Well, you know, that's good. In Californian, you know, under the tea culture, do they also count 7 oceans, or are there more oceans?
I've never really been much of an ocean guy. I really only know about there's the Atlantic Ocean, the Pacific Ocean, the Indian Ocean, the Arctic Ocean, the Antarctic Ocean. Is there an Antarctic Ocean?
I'm not sure. No. We'd have to maybe consult some more resources for that.
Scrabbles?
I always consult Dr. Jalos. He's my doctor. I don't know. I like that you used ocean guy, though. I think oceanaut would be the word for ocean guy. That's all I got, though.
In Arabic, we call the Pacific Ocean the Muhit al-Hadi, which means, you know, the peaceful ocean, which is remarkable.
Yeah, I've heard that ocean is not at all peaceful most of the time.
What I don't understand is, why do we even bother to name or separate the oceans, since they're all interconnected, and it's like they're all holding hands.
They're really all one big ocean. Well, we have this desire to categorize and to separate things. We have our first caller tonight. Let's see if the connections can be made. Hello, you're on the air. Mm-hmm. Let me advise our callers to please turn their radios down when they call to prevent strange vibrational modes.
Or a tsunami.
I feel the spiritual energies resonating when the radio gets turned on. It's a very interesting feeling. It's like looking yourself in the mirror, but your reflection is not looking back.
So, Lester Scott is joined us again, the ordained light minister.
Good evening, everyone.
Lester, welcome back.
Oh, thank you. It really has been a long time, and I do apologize for this, and I must also apologize that during this period I'm still going through my repatriotization process.
Mm-hmm.
Not only is it a lot of politics, but it's actually also been, coincidentally, a lot of enlightenment. You know, I think this really is a good sign that we can find some sort of inner meaning, whether it's the child or the inner plant growing inside of us. We can find this. We can find this really any place we look.
The inner child, or the inner plant, or the inner mineral, or inner vegetable.
That's right. And I hope to also connect these issues with some recent research I've been doing on crystals. Unfortunately, it hasn't been published yet, so I must, you know, certainly share that, but I think everything has a time and a place, and as long as we're all here connected, I think that's the most important thing.
Well, it looks like another caller is trying to connect to us. Let's find out if the caller is mineral, animal, or vegetable. Hello, you're on the air.
I think that you guys like candy.
Well, you think right,
for sure.
Robert.
Yeah.
Robert, are you mineral, animal, or vegetable?
What?
You know, what is a really good question? Sometimes we really need to take the metaphysical, the metamorphosical, and the less physical, and really combine the three and understand these stratas.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. What? Yeah, what?
Exactly right. It's almost comical at times.
Yeah. What indeed? Robert, what?
What?
Dr. Ellis, are you mineral, animal, or vegetable?
I think out of the three, I would have to be mineral.
Mm.
You know, people have told me before that I'm rock-like.
Mm.
I appear rock-like. I have the texture of a rock most of the time, especially when I'm dry in the cold atmosphere of Boston.
I heard you talk about cars last week.
Cars.
You know, that's
cars.
Robert, that's,
I didn't get the chance to call in.
Yeah, it's really interesting that you bring that up, because not only are minerals physical objects, but they're also very nutrifying.
Especially in power stone form, right?
Do you exactly.
Study those? What's your favorite?
Well, you know, we've been looking at these cross-lattice subsections of minerals and really been finding some unique properties that can only be explained by the not what is, but really defining what is not. And so it's like starting at a million. No. Actually, that's a wrong interpretation. It's like starting at infinity and counting down rather than counting up.
Mm-hmm.
It's really a reverse research process.
So, Lester, we have another caller. Let's join them in.
I didn't understand what you just said.
Hello, you're on the air.
Hi, my name's Randy Taylor. I'm listening to your show.
Hi, Randy. How are you?
I'm all right. How you guys doing?
Oh, we're lovely.
Sweet.
Randy, so we are talking about minerals and vegetables, and is there a particular mineral or vegetable or animal that you really identify with?
Well, I'm kind of a mineral man myself, to tell you the truth. I mean, I have to tell you, I just found your show on my iTunes. My son just installed it for me, and
I just
can't get enough of your show. It is just amazing.
Well, Randy, thank you very much. We really do appreciate the patronage that you provide for us.
Hey, man, it's my pleasure. mean, I'm just trying to learn how to live in the light, and I mean, your show is so inspirational to me. I can't begin to tell you.
Well, you know, it's really, without you, listeners like you, I don't know where we would be. You really help to ground out and provide a lot of support for us.
I think we'd be vegetables.
Hey, man, I appreciate it. I mean, I tell you, I was, I had like this kind of, I don't know, like an epiphany at the Waffle House at like 2:30 in the morning the other night. And I mean,
oh, no kidding.
Oh, my Lord. I mean, it just knocked me off my socks. I didn't even know what to do with myself. And so I found your show, and I'm just like, hey, these guys have got it. I mean, they're like on the same wavelength I am.
Oh. You know, Randy, I think we're all resonating on the same wavelength tonight. I really hope that we can use this and really spiral outwards.
Hey, what does resonate mean?
You know, it's a good question. How do we define our words?
Like waffle
supper. I mean, I don't know. I usually just reach for the dictionary, but I'm kind of lazy than that, and I don't feel like it. But I like that word, man. I mean, that ain't like resolution, is it?
No. Randy, resonation is like when you find that perfect waffle that really, you know how you have like a little bit of pleasure when you have a normal waffle, but
right. Occasionally
you find that waffle that is just really, you know, made for you,
yeah.
And you find yourself becoming waffle-like, you know, and your enjoyment begins to increase and improve and expand.
Yeah.
And
uh-huh,
that's
exactly.
That's how I think the contemporary definition of resonating would be.
Right.
I'm not a physicist. But
and in this case, I really feel like maybe the right answer to the question is a pecan waffle, and if you have the choice, maybe you can do double.
Oh, man, I tell you what, I tried to do that double the other night, and I mean, I had to just get up and leave. I couldn't take it anymore. I mean, I don't know. I mean, that epiphany thing, I just don't know how much I can take of that at one time. I mean, they kind of got upset because I didn't wind up paying the bill, but I mean, shoot, I got better things to do than reach for cash when I'm having a moment like that at 2:30 a.m.
Oh, that's right.
Randy? I was wondering, what was your epiphany? Generally, people come to some great realization.
Well, I realized that, you know, I mean, I grew up in the South. I'm not sure if you noticed my accent or not, but, I mean, I grew up in the church, and, you know, I've just been around Jesus and everything for so many years, and then here I am, like, going to town on this pecan waffle that I'm working on at 2:30 in the morning, and, I mean, I realize maybe there's something more to life than just Jesus. You know, maybe, I don't know, maybe there's like some kind of spiritual plane or something like that. I mean,
you know, that's a really good point you make. I was just about to ask, where are you right now? And in asking that question,
Georgia.
Well, you know, I'm not looking for the Cartesian coordinates. I don't really don't want to know where on the map you push your pin. I mean, on a metaphysical, you know, cross-plane axis, where are you right now?
Oh, metaphysical, I don't know. I mean, it's a comfortable place, but it ain't quite church and it ain't quite Valdosta. I mean, I don't know. I feel like I'm vibrating in some different way. I mean, is that like the same as resonating?
Yeah, it depends. What power stone do you identify with? Like, what mineral?
What power stone do I identify with?
Right. They each have their own frequency.
Lord, I don't know. Like, granite's pretty good, but I kind of dig that amethyst. You know, that's got a really pretty purple color. Matches my truck.
For sure. Oh, that's perfect.
What kind of stones you guys into?
Oh, well, I mean, I like the lodestone. It really speaks to me well.
Now what's that?
Well, lodestone is like, it's like an ancient form of, well, what's it like now? Like a magnet that you put on the refrigerator.
Uh-huh.
It's sort of similar to that sort of attractive quality, you know. The problem with the lodestone from a, like, power stone perspective is that it tends to align too easily to whatever influences there are. So it's sort of a, you know, ironically, even though it's a stone, it's more fluid. It's like aligning.
And one thing that the doctor did not mention that I hope to point out is that recently people have been found to using these not for their good powers, but for their bad powers. And so that is one other reason why this is not only an awesome stone, but it's something that really we need to bring out to the public forum and decide how are we going to be using this and integrating it into our lives in the future.
Man, that's nuts. I mean, that sounds like that's some kind of buy stone or something like that. I mean, I don't even know what to say about that. I mean, I hear you on the magnetism part, though. I used to have this little magnetic Jesus that sat on my dashboard, and I mean, I just took it right off after I left that Waffle House, but that was right before the State Patrol pulled me over, because I think they were upset about me not paying for that pecan waffle I've been working on.
You know, that's a good question, and really, if we're looking to move ahead in the future, one thing I would recommend to solve those types of issues you were talking about is consider purchasing your future stones online. Really, I found that this method and this way of interacting in the, what do we say, the digital e-commerce boon is a little bit more pure, I found.
Shoot, man, I might have to give that a trial, though. I mean, I have to tell you, that Wi-Fi antenna I got on the top of my double wide, I mean, it is in and out. I'll be right in the middle, like, processing some kind of Visa charge, and man, I just lose it right in the middle. I get so irritated, dadgummit.
I'm sorry.
Now, are there any stones that could help out with the Wi-Fi?
You know, maybe the other hosts can answer that. I found that any stones that I place, like even at the station several times, just due to the massive concentration of psychic energy that comes during the show, that the antenna has literally blown. Like the show will go, and actually for our listeners, I want to warn you, if the show suddenly stops, it's because of that.
But this has been only because of the antenna, so let it be known that the online listeners shouldn't experience any break in the show.
Oh man, that's good to hear. I mean, I don't want to get like too much energy going from them stones, because my power bill is just out of control as it is, so I'm trying to conserve money. But yeah, man, that stone working on that Wi-Fi do the trick. As long as I can keep cooking my Jimmy Dean sausage, I ain't going to be getting upset.
You know, I've got a real problem with Jimmy Dean these days.
What? What's your beef with Jimmy?
Well, you know, I think, if I'm not mistaken, it used to come in 16-ounce, and they've reduced the package size to 12-ounce. And I don't know how much you eat, how, you know, what your status is in life, but to feed four average Americans, like in my family, it just has not cut it.
Oh, I know. Tell me about it, man. I mean, I am so irritated about trying to feed a family of five on a 12-ounce roll of sausage, and they're trying to charge the same dadgum price for it, too.
What, you know, that's
what I don't understand is, you know, we're encouraged to exercise more. We're encouraged to work out and use the gym and be aware of how much exercise we're getting. But somehow, sometimes these packaging, they reduce the quantity. And I just don't get that.
Well, let me tell you about that gym stuff. I mean, that may be for them city people, but I tell you, I work construction 5-6 days a week. That's all the exercise I need. All I did want to do is just come home and cook sausage and have enough for everybody. But I tell you, it's getting tough out there. That 12-ounce roll costs as much as that 16-ounce roll used to, and I got to pay for gas and everything. And shoot, you know how much gas costs these days. I mean, I can barely drive down to the Circle K to pick some up in the morning.
Mm.
Randy. That's why I was at that Waffle House at 2:30, and that's when I had that moment I was telling you about. And I've just been vibrating and resonating weird ever since.
It's kind of fortuitous, you know, sometimes something seems really bad, but it actually turns out to be a good thing. Randy, we have a third caller that we're going to put on.
Well, that sounds good, man. I'll talk to y'all later.
No, Randy, you can stay. We have two lines.
Oh, I can stay on the line?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, okay.
Of
course. All right, man, go for it.
Caller three? Well, we know what to do with that kind of caller.
I'm sorry, guys. I don't hear no caller three.
It's okay. I think we have... That's all right. We had I think it was a robotic caller, which happens from time to time. You know, it's like a tangle in the waves.
Hey guys, I'm sorry. My dog's barking at me. Hey, now that's another question. Y'all got like any vegetables or minerals or anything that take care of a barking dog? I just can't get my pit bull to shut up.
Well, I don't know about dogs, but when I was growing up, we had camels. And the camels, what I used to do to the camel if it was making too much, you know, the camel doesn't bark. it makes sort of a brah noise, you know.
Really? Oh yeah.
Yeah. So we had one camel that would spit and would it would make these kinds of brah noises, and we gave it a kind of an oatmeal with honey, and it really stuck its teeth together, and it solved that problem.
Oh man, that's good to hear. I tell you, last time my dog tried to spit and bark at me, I just took some of that tuna back and spit it right in its left eye. Man, that dog went yelping out so bad. That was the last time that little son of a gun spit at me, that's for sure.
You know, Randy, it's funny because too, like many of the people feel that this kind of reaction is a little bit too severe. You know, that it will hurt the dog or something. But let's be honest. I mean, you are only manipulating the dog's natural instinct, right?
Well, I mean, I agree with you, man. I mean, sometimes you just gotta buck up and show that dog who is boss. I mean, I'm sorry. I mean, I ain't trying to, like, upset PETA or whatever that group is. But, man, I tell you, them animal rights activists make me just want to kick a dog sometimes.
Yeah,
but I guess that's not a very spiritual thing to say.
No, but I mean, it's well understood.
Get together now, all right.
I think there are other ways, though. We've explored some issues, including, you know, what physical items to pass along to these animals. But how about the psychological, the mental aspect? Have you sometimes when you concentrate really hard, and I'm not talking about just for 3 or 4 seconds, I'm talking about maybe 10 or 15.
Well, I know what you're talking about. I mean, I think, you know, talking about concentration, I was like half asleep the other day. It was before I had to get up and go to work. I think it was like 5:30 in the morning, and you know, that dog was there laying in the bed between my wife and I, and before I realized it, like, I could hear the dog, like, kind of grumbling or groaning. I guess it was dreaming or whatever it was, and then all of a sudden I realized it's like, I thought it was my wife, like, trying to be kind of kinky, and then I was getting licked, and I realized it was my dog, and I kind of had this moment where I was like, you know, I concentrated on it for so long that I realized that the dog, I guess, was like trying to make a different relationship with me. So I just kind of let him keep going, you know? I mean, it was all right. I didn't bother too much. My wife was still asleep. She didn't even know what was happening.
Yeah, some kinds of connections are really unwelcome, though. You know, like you meet someone and they really want to be friends with you for a long time. Or like, you know, you're meditating and you start to possess someone. And it's just really wrong, you know, you don't want to do it.
Dr. Oates, did your camel
bite
on you?
Well, I know. I mean, I didn't want to put a ring on his finger. I mean, besides, it's a male dog, for God's sakes. I mean, his name's Sanford. He's a 12-year-old pit bull that's got an eye missing. That's why I had to aim for the left one when I shot that chewing back at him.
Hmm.
But I tell you, Sanford just ain't worth a nickel. Now, speaking of nickels, though, what do you think is, like, the most reasonably priced stones for somebody like myself who's on a budget but is trying to be kind of spiritual and less religious?
Well, Scrabbles here is an expert on stones and sort of minerals. And so, Scrabbles, is there anything that our friend Randy and Sanford could go and collect even from perhaps their neighborhood that would help connect?
Yeah,
come on, hook me up, buddy. I need some tips.
I think my favorite stones are the ones that are either verbs. So, for example, hornstone is a verb. You can hornstone
something.
You don't
have to speak up. I work construction, can't hear a word.
If you pick up some hornstone, you can. It's a verb. You can be hornstoning, or I was hornstoned by the amazing resignation.
Why don't you just go get a pint of ice cream?
Yeah, that's another.
Well. I mean, that's a thought. I mean, it's cheaper and it's readily available, I guess.
There is an ice stone also. It's another option. My other soft spot is for...
How do they say ice? An ice stone. Don't they say ice like something different in France? Isn't it like that glace or that glacé or however they say it in Paris?
I have to look at your eye and eat ice cream.
Yeah, you know, in French, glace is ice cream.
Oh, Yeah. Now, you ain't got to be French to be spiritual, do you? I mean, like, you can be American and do it, right?
Oh, certainly, yeah. So one of the most famous and well-known and deep spiritual leaders of our era was an Oregonian called Arthur Rainbow Beam, who is very well-known in the Boston area among, you know, New Age circles.
Oh, wow, that ain't bad, man. That sounds kind of interesting. I mean, I tell you something, we just ain't got squat down here in terms of spiritual people. I mean, everybody is religious. I mean, I don't even know what to do with myself some days. I'm, like, totally surrounded by, like, this perimeter of Jesus freaks, and I'm burnt out on it, man.
Yeah, but...
So, yeah. Well, you know, Georgia is an interesting place too, because, like I said, my guru Arthur Rainbow Beam was from Oregon, where there are certain gases and vibrational energies that are really well suited for spiritual exploration.
Now you said his name was Rainbow Beam. I mean, you're not talking like that gay rainbow, are you?
Not to the best of my knowledge.
Oh, okay, like a different kind of rainbow?
Yeah, what? I've seen Arthur with a girlfriend. He's had one for quite a while now, so...
Oh, all right.
Yeah. Well, yeah, Rainbow Beam, I think, is really regarding the spectrum of his spiritual enlightenment. It's so broad, like a rainbow, you know, circular, and it's really evoking an image of... It wasn't, you know, a name that he named himself. It was a name that he was given by the Elder Ones in a meditative journey that he had as a teenager.
That's interesting. Mm. I mean, I'd say I could really use some kind of like enlightenment in my life, because I tell you, my wife's getting ready to leave me, the kids are a bunch of ingrates, and my dog Sanford's on his last leg. I mean, I ain't got much to live for except for them pecan waffles I love so much at 2:30 in the morning.
Well, Randy, you have to live for yourself.
Oh, man, I don't know if I could do that. I guess I could. I mean, I'm a pretty nice guy. I mean, I try to get along with everybody pretty good. I mean, I'm like real good buddies with my friends down at the job site.
Right.
But they don't want to talk to me about all the stuff we're talking about on this show. I mean, they just, you know, they don't get all that spiritual stuff. But, I mean, I'm really trying to lead life on a different plane, you know, and I ain't talking about a jet. This ain't no Delta ticket, you know what I mean?
Oh, yeah.
Well, Randy, if your life really is coming to an end over down in near Georgia, where you say perhaps you should think about moving out to some other place, someplace more spiritual.
Oh, moving out, I guess. I mean, Valdosta's kind of a spiritual place. I mean, I'm sitting here living in a trailer park with a couple of pink flamingos out front, and of course Sanford's chained to the side of it, but I mean, I guess I could move out somewhere else, but you know, the terrible thing is I ain't even been outside of Valdosta. Furthest north I ever been is Atlanta, Georgia. And man, I tell you what, ooh, that place like to just turn my head inside out.
Well, there's a first time for everything. Why not come north to Boston?
Well, you know, I think I can connect with...
I was thinking about going to get a landscaping job, but I'm not going to...
I'm sorry, Robert?
Oh, sorry.
No, go ahead.
I quit my job today.
Oh,
I have nothing to say about it, but I was going to get a landscaping job.
Oh, man, I can tell you need to stay away from that landscaping.
I was going to ask for people that aren't sketchy, but that's not true. There's never anyone anywhere that's not sketchy. And anyways, no one likes me.
Oh, well, that's a bummer, man. I mean, I try to play like the lucky lotto numbers I got. That's like my kids' birthdays and the years they were born and stuff like that, but, you know, I ain't ever got any luck. Luckiest I ever got was when I just won the money that I actually spent on the ticket. But, I mean, I guess, you know, I mean, you ain't got to be a rich person to be spiritual, do you?
Of course not.
No.
In fact, historically, the most spiritual people have often been the poorest.
Oh, really? Man, this could work out for me after all, because, man, I am dirt broke. I am so far in debt. Oh, my God. Don't even get me started on it. I mean, I tell you, I should be worshiping Visa. They probably got a hitman looking out for me.
You know, it's funny because you say that in jest, but, like, really, people in our society today, it's an illness, but they really worship money, I find, that they really devote themselves to it, sometimes wholly, which is why, I believe this
money is food.
Well, no, beyond food, because, you know, the really people that are worshipping it the most are the ones that have plenty of it, that really are, they aren't hungry, they are, you know, but they devote their whole lives and every purpose to acquiring more.
Yeah, no, I hear you. I know. That's what my foremans always tell me. More, more, more. You want to make more money, you got to work more hours. And I'm like, well, hell, man. I mean, I got to try to have a life.
Yeah.
I like to go down to the club and play some pool every once in a while. And I mean, because I'm not a big NASCAR fan, even though I know I'm, you know, a redneck and I'm supposed to like NASCAR, but I just don't, man. All that gas gives me a headache. I can't really enjoy the beer I'm trying to work on. I guess, I mean, that, you know, to tell you the truth.
I was watching the pitchers in baseball. I'm from Boston.
Oh, well.
Hey, baseball's the
I mean, I guess y'all ain't got any NASCAR up in Boston. But, I mean, that was really the first spiritual experience I think I ever had, even before that Waffle House moment, because I was just so high on fumes the whole weekend, and I had so much beer going through me. I mean, I didn't know whether I was coming or going. You know what I'm talking about? I mean, I have to take out six the next week.
It's interesting.
I think it's about fulfillment. You have to search for what is your fulfillment.
I guess that's like the $64,000 pyramid question in my life right now. I mean, I don't know what the answer is to that. I mean, here I am, 2:30 in the morning, trying to have a waffle at the Waffle House, and man, I'm freaking out and running out to my pickup truck.
Well, Randy,
I just don't even know what's going on anymore.
That question that Poe brings up of what is fulfillment, that's why we are here. That's why we are communing and attempting to approximate this circle, is to figure that out. Because, have you ever heard that saying, knowing is half the battle?
Oh, man, that's something else. No, I ain't ever heard that before.
Well, it's a good saying to know. And you might ask, what does it mean, knowing is half the battle? Well, let me tell you. There's a battle that we're all facing. Not any with war or axes or anything like that, but an internal battle, a struggle.
Right.
To be happy. And in that battle, there are two halves. And the first half is knowing what you need to do to make yourself happy.
Okay.
So that's where we're all at here. We're trying to figure out. And as soon as we figure it out, well, then comes the next hard part, which is...
Forgetting.
Doing it.
Not forgetting scheme.
Okay.
So...
Well, I mean, that sounds simple enough. I mean, I guess I could work on that.
Well, I'm sure if someone were to explain to you how to make one of those jumbo jets, it would sound simple enough, right? But it's actually doing it.
I got a friend of mine who works down over at the base. He builds them jets all day for the Air Force. I mean, man, that stuff is cool, but it is so far beyond me, I just can't even tell you.
It's all good.
Yeah, man.
I tried to apply to Air Force one time, I guess, like, trying to seek some kind of, I don't know, better path in my life or something like that. But they turned me down. They said I was classified as, what was it? It was 4P. Apparently, in the event of a hostage situation, I'm supposed to be taken hostage. So, I don't know. I couldn't really understand it. I was kind of drunk
ridiculous.
At the time.
Ridiculous.
So they'd have gotten
now,
you.
Now, hang on. Now, you asked me a question when I first called in. I can't remember all of it. It was like if I had a mineral or a vegetable or something. What was the other one?
Animal.
Oh, an animal. I mean, I don't know. I mean, to identify with an animal, I mean, I got my dog, but I don't really care about Sanford anymore. He's half dead anyway. But I tell you, you know, the possums I identify with a lot because God knows I run over enough of them.
Do you spell possum with an O at the front, or possum or opossum?
Like a possum? No, shoot, man. You spell possum with a P. There ain't no O in front of it. I mean, I don't know how y'all do it up in Boston, but I ain't trying to spell no possum with no O in front of it, that's for sure.
Huh. Yeah, I see.
I mean, I tell you what, though, every time I run them over, they should have an O in front of them, because there I go saying, oh, hell, I ran over another one.
It's
very unfortunate.
It's a rough life as a possum.
You know, I asked my boss the other day out on the job site, I was like, hey, man, you know what OSHA stands for? Because, I mean, I hear it all the time on the news, but I don't know what it means. He said... Oh, shoot, run.
What does it stand for, actually? Do we?
I looked it up the other day. I think it stands for something like Occupational Safety and Health Administration, or I don't know, some crap like that.
Back in my younger days, I was actually certified as a forklift operator, and they had an OSHA representative come by and give us a day-long course to do that.
Man, really? Like, they did that for free?
No, it was a whole group of us. I was working in a big company at the time over in California.
What was your favorite thing to lift?
Now, I hear anything stable.
You mentioned California, because I hear they got all kinds of this stuff going on out in California, like crystals and cults and that Scientology or whatever it is. I mean, I have to tell you, seriously, I'm going to tell on myself, because, I mean, I don't want to go to hell for lying, but I'll tell you something. I looked into that Scientology stuff, and it seemed kind of neat to me, but, man, it's expensive.
Hmm.
I mean, my wife would kill me if I tried to go to one of them retreats they do out in, where is it, that Los Angeles?
Yeah.
Well, you know, speaking of the Californian spiritual experience, we have PCP here, who, you know, is from the great fountain of tea in California. It's really from him. He's the fountainhead of tea.
The fountainhead of tea.
Do you drink much tea, Randy?
Randy, are you a tea drinker?
I mean, not really. I'm a beer drinker. I mean, but I ain't much of a tea drinker.
Well, you know, it's similar.
I mean, I could try it, I guess.
Tea is nothing more than beer, but not as processed and from different things.
Oh, man, you kidding me? Tea, beer? Shoot.
Well, no. Tea is beer in the same sense that poppy seeds are opium. I mean, there's differences.
Oh.
But when you get down to it, they're both grown. There's a lot of water in both of them and, you know, minerals and vitamins even. Beer is more healthy for you than soda, though I don't personally drink beer very often at all.
Oh, that's interesting. You know, my grandmother used to put poppy seeds on the muffins she made, but I never got high off of them.
Well, that's because they weren't processed. They're not opium. They're just the ingredient.
So you saying that's kind of like the same deal with beer? Like tea is like my grandmother's muffins?
Yeah.
I agree.
I guess. I mean, my grandfather used to always talk about how much he loved eating my grandmother's muffins, but I don't know if he was necessarily talking about the bread. I don't know. Grandpa was kind of filthy.
I think what PCP might have been talking about was there's a lot of different types of tea out there, of course, and they use a lot of ingredients. So I don't know. In my studies, there have been teas that use, for instance, rice.
Uh-huh.
And I mean, rice has been used to make wine as well. Whereas,
oh, man. Oh, I know what you're talking about there. We got this little Chinese restaurant over off of Mountain Industrial.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, man, I went and had some of that sake, whatever it is they make, that rice wine. Oh, man, woo! That's like drinking fire.
Yeah, they come at different levels, the different intensities, too. You want to watch out for that.
Yeah, I know, man. Yeah. I had just talk about watching out for it. I was watching out for the State Patrol.
Did you know that I'm the fun?
All the way home.
Yeah, Robert's a
you
fun.
Are, too.
Robert,
so are you?
You're a what?
Your waffles, the son.
My waffles?
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, them waffles. I mean, that's a good way to kind of chill out a bad drunk. I mean, if you get a waffle in you, it'll just absorb it and you won't be as sick, but I mean, I tell you, I got to be careful
drugs.
Because sometimes, I mean, Valdosta ain't that far away from Plains, Georgia, and, you know, that's where that Jimmy Carter lives. Now, I didn't vote for the man personally, but I respect the fact that he's from the South and, you know, he used to be a sub driver, I think, for the Navy. But, you know, I mean, I appreciate a good Southern boy, but I tell you, they got more Secret Service around that Plains compound than you can shake a stick at, and I mean, if I'm trying to be out drinking or if I got some construction job that's way down south, man, I got to watch out. Last time I swerved around his house, I didn't even know I was there. I had like four black Suburbans on me before I could even know what was going on. I mean, I was out of the pickup truck and they were like talking about tasers and TV radios and stuff. I don't know, man. That freaked me out. I thought I was in an episode of Star Wars or something.
Yeah, really, the you know, sometimes as an Arab, I find that the imposition of like really this sort of fear mentality is, it's debilitating, it's very difficult to struggle against. And really there's only one way to counter it, and it's with counter it with a love mentality.
Well, I'm big on love. I mean, my wife and I love it up just about a couple nights a week. I mean, that's, of course, if I haven't been drinking too much, but I ain't going to get into all that.
Mm.
But, I mean, I try to be, you know, like easygoing guy, kind of relaxed. I mean, my wife can be kind of uptight sometimes, especially when the bills are due, but, I mean...
I love looking in the mirror. No one has been able to look at me in the eyes recently, though. Just a few people have. For the most part, no.
I hear you, man. I mean, I can barely look at myself in the mirror these days. I am ugly as sin. I don't even know how my wife puts up with it, quite frankly. But, I mean, I love her, and I guess she loves me back. But, I mean, I tell you, I hope that this spiritual stuff I'm starting to get into isn't going to affect my marriage, because my wife loves Jesus. I mean, she's all about the Lord and the Heavenly Father and all that. And, you know, and I respect that. But, good Lord, I am so tired of waking up at 7:30 in the morning finding that copy of the Gideon's Holy Bible sitting there at my bedstand. I mean, I got work to do, man.
How does the Bible being there affect your work?
Well, she puts it there. I mean, see, here's the thing. She's a maid, all right? She cleans up the Holiday Inn over there off of Mountain Industrial. I mean, it's about a snake's length away from the Waffle House. And every once in a while, she'll steal one of them Holy Bibles because she's too cheap to buy her own. And, of course, she's so rough on reading the thing, she's always got a new one every other weekend. It's got a white cover on it. I mean, who ever saw a Holy Bible with a white cover on it? I'm like, good Lord, lady, where are you from, New York? But anyway, it's her way, I guess. I just hope she ain't going to be freaking out when I'm buying crystals and stuff. Because let me tell you something, I take this process very seriously.
Well, Randy, you know, really buying a I know there are a lot of crystal vendors out there, but, you know, the crystal, if it's going to have a real effect on you and if it's going to really have a good meditative power, you need to collect it yourself. Like, you know, purchasing the crystal, it's against the spirit of the thing, in my opinion.
And besides which, I mean, the spiritual vibrations of it are usually given and are benefited by the most the guy or the girl that harvested the crystal from the cave or the shore, wherever it was.
Mm.
Right when you cut off your own piece of crystal, whatever it is, at that very moment, there is this sort of spiritual resonance or power, this burst of energy that comes forth. And if you're the one touching the crystal,
I like
then...
that. I mean, man, I don't, where are you from? I mean, you're like Yoda or something, man. I mean, you have got so many good ideas. I am so glad I called on this show, man.
Well, we're glad to have you.
Yeah, the procedure that PCP is talking about, this instant where the crystal becomes yours and resonates with you, is referred to as impression.
Oh, okay. Mm.
So that's really important, that step.
Like, what do you mean by like an impression? I mean, like, I ain't gotta like jab it into my head or stuff
No.
I mean, I gotta go to work.
No, like, really meeting it and collecting it, that whole procedure.
Oh, okay, kind of like making biscuits or something.
Yeah, sort of, you know, like, or it's a lot
more,
like
I think
the birth of a child, you know, or of a dog, like when the dog sees you. Yeah, or the camel, it like sees you for the first time and it identifies with you in a way that is chemical and it biological and even nuclear. Like really, it identifies with you deeply.
But I think a better analogy even is just think of heat. Imagine it were to emit heat the moment it burst forth, the moment you released it from the rest of the crystal that's hidden underground. Then as soon as you feel that heat, it's there and it's gone, and then you've got this heat.
You know what I'm trying to
say,
man,
that sounds like that time I did that hot grits treatment on my face because I got stung by like 14 bees when I had to get rid of that damn hornet's nest at my wife's in-law's house. Oh my God, that like to kill me. But man, that just like you were talking about, I mean I felt that heat, man, it took care of whatever that was. Hey man, what y'all pouring, a beer?
That sounds
good right now.
Randy, he was rubbing his genitals.
Oh no, let's come on, let's keep it a little bit PC.
PC. I ain't much of a computer guy, but I mean, I know a little bit about PCs.
Yeah, no mixing. We were just a little club soda, you know, just to get a little bubbly.
Man, I like the bubbly, especially when I'm down at the bowling alley all weekend. My wife and I love doing that. She gets all worn out from cleaning hotels all weekend. We go down to the bowling alley. We work out our aggression, I guess, doing that, you know. I mean, it's fun. But see, my whole thing is that I'm thinking that we could do, like, the bowling alley on a Saturday, and then on Sunday, like, you know, we kind of got, like, some woods behind the house. And I mean, I could, like, go and chill out with some stones or something and maybe, I don't know, meditate. But, I mean, I have to tell y'all guys, just to be straight up, I am ADD as hell, and I don't know if I'm going to be able to sit down that long.
I was actually ADD for the longest time, too. At least diagnosed as such. Later it turns out the doctor was a quack. But what I found helped a lot was when I would try to meditate, instead of sitting and clearing my mind, I would allow the random thoughts to come. And I would envision myself grabbing the thought from the screen of my mind as though it were a piece of paper, crumpling it up and sticking it in a bag. And every time a new thought would come, I would crumple it and stick it in the bag. And so ritualistically, I would crumple up my thoughts and throw them into this bag. And eventually they would stop coming. And then I would seal the bag and I would throw it through the wall out the window.
Man, that's awesome. I mean, I have to tell you, I really like that idea. I mean, I was just reading the other day in People magazine that apparently John McCain did the same thing when he was a POW down over in Vietnam. And they said, man, that helped him get through. I mean, they said he would have just gone nuts if it weren't for that bag crumpling stuff he was doing. So I'd have to give that a try.
But there's a difference here. And that difference is, since these thoughts have not anything to do with being a prisoner of war and they're not bad, they are your thoughts, you may want to have them again. You must be sure to throw the bag out the way you leave, so that when you pass by, you can pick up your thoughts again, and you haven't lost any part of yourself. You've merely
set it aside. I mean, let me tell you something. I lost enough of myself the other night. Man, I just drank way too much. Now, here's a good question for you. Can you still be, like, spiritual and still drink? I mean, I ain't got to, like, give up my PBR or nothing, do I?
No, definitely. Especially
all right,
if you're
good. I mean, I guess I'll give up PBR, but what?
If you're bowling every Saturday, you can immerse yourself in the rock you're throwing. It's a crystal too.
I don't know. I don't want to give up. I mean, I could give up PBR, I guess, but if you try to get my Miller High Life out of my hands, man, you got to fight on you, buddy.
I guess,
if I'm going to be spiritual first, I guess I can't fight anymore either, but...
Well, Randy, the details
boxing league
really depend on the discipline. But, gentlemen, unfortunately, we are looking at 2.5 minutes to the hour, so we're going to have to wrap it up a little.
Oh, man. Well, that sounds good. I think my wife called me to come eat anyway. I think she made, like, franks and beans or something. I don't know. But, man, I can't tell you. You guys have been so helpful this evening.
I'm going to go eat, too, instead of playing drums.
Drums.
All right.
That sounds like a good idea. Playing drums is a good idea, especially at the revival.
Stress release.
Okay, so Robert and Randy, thank you very much.
I should go to bed. I don't think I'm actually going to eat, but I played this show.
Ma'asalama, Robert, and ma'asalama, Randy.
Yeah. Peace out, bro.
Best wishes,
Robert. All right. God bless y'all. Take care.
All right.
See you guys.
Bye.
Ma'asalama.
Domo.
Take care.
So, once again, we are closing our hour of spiritual journeying with many nodes and connections. Ma'a salama min al-Diktor Janis al-Sakran.
I'm Peace Child Peter.
Scrabbles. Cheers.
Poe here. Take care.
So, Ma'a salama, Music for Humans is on every 7 p.m. on Friday, WMBR in Cambridge, 88.1 FM. Stay tuned for Hidden Gems in Plain Sight.
for safety.
Number one.
Cars and bikes stop at red lights.
It's against the law for car drivers or bicycle riders to ignore traffic signals.
So don't buzz through red lights. There might be a pedestrian or turning car that doesn't see you coming.
Number two.
Look first before you open your door.
Numerous bicyclists have been injured or even killed by car doors suddenly opening into them.
Look first, and bicyclists, stay out of the door zone.
Number three.
Cross with the signal.
You are safest if you wait for a walk or green traffic signal.
Don't jaywalk. That's just walking into trouble.
Number four.
Cars and bikes should stop for pedestrians in unsignalized crosswalks.
Be nice. Be legal. Be safe.
Brought to you as a public service by the Cambridge Bicycle Committee and this station.
Good evening, Boston.